Welcome back in to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bullbarch, Rocco Nucci with you. And time now for us to head back to the hotline to welcome in a gentleman that we had on the show last year. He is Mark Sommer, the author of the book Rocky Colavito, Cleveland's Iconic Slugger. Mark, thank you so much for the time today. How are you?
Oh, it's great to join you. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, of course, we're having you on to talk about Friday, marking the 60th anniversary of the trade. And it's one that if you were around for it, you know exactly where you were when it all went down. And how much of the book details this deal, going over all the aspects of how it went down?
You know, I spent a lot of time looking into that trade. I knew about it when I was a kid. I had read, as a teenager, I had read the only other biography written about Rocky Colavito. That was called Don't Knock the Rock by a Cleveland Indians columnist at the time. And as a kid, I was aware that it was one of the great most controversial trades ever in baseball history. And when I started to work on the book, I really wanted to delve into that trade and not just tell the story from the perspective of why it happened, but how it impacted Clevelanders and others in Northeast Ohio, who were, as I found, even more so than I had previously realized in writing the book, that people were just so devastated, to the point that we still think back on it. It's still a big deal that, you know, the 60th anniversary, known as the Curse of Colavito, it elicits strong emotions to this day for people who remember it, and especially in the Italian-American community where Rocky was such an icon.
Now, in talking with Rocky, what were some of the more revealing aspects of his recollection of the deal?
Well, I don't think he saw it coming. There had been some chatter in the press. Frank Lane had made some comments about possibly getting rid of Rocky, but he did that with a lot of players. And the fact is, Rocky, in 59, in June of that year, in that season, he hit four home runs in the game consecutively. He led the American League, actually tied the American League in home runs with 42. He knocked in 111 runs, one shy of Jackie Jensen, who led the league. He had the most total bases. At 26, he was really just coming into his own, and he was just a star. You know, he had hit more home runs in the previous 2 years than Mantle or Mays, who are considered the two best players. And everything looked great. The team, after the previous 2 years having not gotten a whiff of a pennant race, was fighting for the pennant into September. Attendance went up, get this, 834,000 in 1 year. And it was really Rocky's star power as much as anything that got people through the turnstile. So he didn't see it coming. In the last exhibition game before the start of the 1960 season, he'd hit a home run in the first inning. In the middle of the game, he got on base, and he was assumed being taken out so he could rest up a little before taking the plane that evening to go back to Cleveland for the home opener. But when the manager got to first base, Joe Gordon, he basically told Rocky that this is the last game you'll ever play for us. You've been traded. And Rocky was just stunned, dumbfounded, and really pretty heartbroken about it. But he didn't want to let anyone know because he was very upset that it happened, and he didn't want to give Frank Lane, the general manager who traded him, you know, a real villain in Cleveland sports history, any satisfaction in sort of revealing how upset he was. The two of them had an extremely contentious contract negotiations, and Rocky had made $28,000 the year before. He wound up getting a $7,000 raise despite his great accomplishments that season. He was pretty shattered about it. He was determined to do his best for whatever team he was to play on, and he saw himself as a professional, and he would just push forward, but he hated to leave Cleveland. And, you know, I would just add that, unlike, you know, great sports stars in Cleveland like LeBron James or Jim Tomei, Rocky never wanted to leave Cleveland. He returned again in 1965, played 2.5 seasons, got traded again, didn't want to leave then. He loves Cleveland and to this day. And but that trade really hurt, and it stung his fans so much as well, of course.
Well, and one of the first folks he told is a guy that he had a very close relationship with, and that, of course, is Herb Score. And in talking with Rocky last year, I thought it was fascinating how he went into great detail about how much he and Herb Score got along so incredibly well. How much of the book discusses that relationship between Herb Score and Rocky Colavito?
There's a chapter in the book about that. They really were like brothers. They were inseparable. Before and after games, and they both shared a strong Catholic faith. They just had a great time together, and I describe what happened when Herb Score got hit in the eye by the line drive that really derailed his career. Although Rocky makes the point strongly that it wasn't the line drive from Gil McDougall to the Yankees that really led to the downfall of Herb Score's career, as much as Herb Score injuring himself on a mound in Washington, D.C. the following season, actually twice on the same mound within a matter of weeks, that hurt his pitching arm and was more of a factor in Herb Score's decline than getting hit by the batted ball.
Friday, of course, marks the 60th anniversary of the trade of Rocky Colavito. And here to talk about that with us is the author of Rocky Colavito, Cleveland's Iconic Slugger, Mark Sommer. Now, another guy he had an interesting relationship with was Roger Maris. How did that relationship develop?
Well, they were in the same farm system in playing for the Cleveland Indians, and they both were right fielders. They wound up, they came up around the same time with the Indians. Rocky was just slightly ahead. And they shared a lot of things in common. I mean, you wouldn't think so at first blush. Rocky, was an Italian from the Bronx. Roger Maris was a Croatian who was basically raised on the plains of Fargo, North Dakota. But, they were both power-hitting right fielders, signed 1 year apart. And they shared a kind of, blue collar work ethic. They were very devoted family men, both married, young. And they were really consummate team players. And because of that, they commanded the respect and really the admiration of teammates and opposing players alike. I would add that they were also, they were proud, they were confident, they were stubborn. Both of them had pretty short fuses. And they each could carry a grudge. So they shared a lot of similarities. They both hated Frank Lane. That was another thing. And Frank Lane traded away Roger Maris. And, a couple years after that, Roger won back-to-back MVP awards with the New York Yankees and hit 61 home runs. But the two of them remained good friends over the years. It just, Roger Maris would call Rocky Rocco Sacco. I thought kind of funny.
Rocco Sacco?
Rocco Sacco.
You kind of wonder why that name didn't catch on. I mean, that sounds like a heck of a nickname that really could have caught on. It should have caught fire. Well,
yeah.
I know you're involved with a couple of different things surrounding Rocky here locally. And one, I'm sure a lot of people would like a heck of a lot more information on, because you never fully 100% get cemented as a star, unless they put up a statue of you, and it sounds like the plans are in place for a statue of Rocky Colavito here in Cleveland.
Yeah, that was well put. There's a group of us that have come together to do that. Rocky is not recognized with a statue at the Indians ballpark. Many people have long thought he ought to, but the Indians, their criteria is that you've got to be in the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown before you're eligible to be enshrined in Cleveland. So a group of us have come together, and we are putting a statue, a life-size statue of Rocky, in Tony Brush Park in Little Italy. David Denning, the great sports sculptor who did Jim Tomei, Frank Robinson, Larry Doby, and other former Indian ballplayers, And also, it's got statues of Jim Brown and Otto Graham at Brown Stadium. He's creating a life-size statue of Rocky that's almost finished. And so let me just mention that if people go to facebook.com/Rocky Colavito Statue for Cleveland, you can see how you can be a part of this by having a brick done with your name on it and making a contribution that way to help raise the funds to get this statue in Little Italy. We had hoped to get that done this year. It's looking more likely with all that's going on for that to happen next year. But we still have to raise, we've raised some money, but we need to raise the rest. So I hope people who are interested will go to that Facebook page and see how to get involved.
Very, very cool stuff. We'll be sure to throw that link out there one more time before we wrap up. But tomorrow, being the 60th anniversary of the trade, I know you're doing a Zoom virtual happy hour with Margaret Reardon of the Baseball Heritage Museum. So what all goes on at this virtual happy hour tomorrow?
Yeah, we're calling it Zoomer Gloom, the 60th anniversary of the curse. and I'll be talking about kind of what you've been asking me, circumstances that surrounded that trade, why it seemed to have happened, how people reacted to it, the impact it had, things like that. So the Baseball Heritage Museum has been nice enough to want to host that talk at 5:00. And if people go to the Baseball Heritage Museum website, they can see how to sign on. It's free. And if I can mention my book, Rocky Colavito, Cleveland's Iconic Slugger, can be obtained. It's published by McFarlane Company. If people want to get a copy at RockyColavitoBiography.com, that's RockyColavitoBiography.com, and they write in capital letters two words, The Rock, in the promo code, they can get $5 off the cover price.
Very simply put, I mean, that was my next question. Where can our listeners go to buy the book? And very simple, RockyColavitoBiography.com, and you can get a special discount by typing in The Rock, correct?
Yep, in capital letters in the promo code.
All right, very good stuff. Well, that's very simple. Again, RockyColavitoBiography.com. And Mark, one more time, let's throw out that Facebook link as well for those interested in learning how they can get more information on the statue of Rocky Colavito to go up in Little Italy. Oh, let's throw that Facebook link out there one more time.
Rocky Colavito Statue for Cleveland. One word.
Very simply put, so if you go to Facebook, Rocky Colavito Statue in Cleveland, that's all you have to do when you type in the search box. So, Mark, this was a lot of fun. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope that people are able to get a copy of the book. Also, check out that Facebook page to find out about the status of the statue going up for Rocky Colavito. And we certainly hope, too, that people can participate in the Zoom and Gloom session tomorrow as well.
Andy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mark. Again, that's Mark Sommer, author of the book Rocky Colavito, Cleveland's Iconic Slugger, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to step aside and take a break. We will come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.